Back on Downtown Thursday afternoon, it's 4:42. Rich Kimball here, Downtown, brought to you by Cross Insurance, where security meets strength. Our next guest on the program is the editor of the Boston Globe's Spotlight team of investigative journalists. You know about them, of course, from the Academy Award-winning movie. They were nominated for a Pulitzer Prize this year, and she'll be at the University of Maine tomorrow delivering a lecture for the Stephen King Chair in Literature. We're pleased to be joined by Patricia Wynn. Patricia, thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
Well, it's an interesting time in the news business. It seems obvious, but is it safe to say that we need, as a nation, investigative journalism more than ever right now?
Oh, well, yes, I would say so. Of course, I think it's essential probably all the time, but yes, with the political environment we're in now, and quite frankly, just this super complex world in which we live, I do think that investigative journalism, of all types, is so critical.
When you look at what's happened in journalism over the course of the last couple of decades, when did the lines begin to be blurred? Because it seems to me, and I say this as somebody who also teaches high school students, and I see a lot of young people come in who absolutely do not understand the line between journalism and fiction, even between news and commentary. How did that begin to become so confusing for consumers in America?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I mean, even in where I sit, where we're sort of mainstream journalism, you know, you'll notice even sometimes news stories will be written with a little more analysis. I wouldn't say it goes necessarily to opinion, but you know, I think with the just with the proliferation of so much social media, so many websites, there is more what we call even voice sometimes in news stories. And I think that this is just a product of kind of the internet age, and no longer even in mainstream media. I mean, you try to sort of report things in a more straightforward fashion, but I think that even in the mainstream sort of media, you see it's so hard to say, but you know, you will see people that will do kind of more analytical writing, and that'll be in many, you know, regular newspapers and print media.
Your talk tomorrow is at 4:30 in the Wells Conference Center at the University of Maine, entitled "Getting It Right: Investigative Journalism in a Post-Truth Age." There are news sources out there, news organizations that sometimes want to get it first, and that becomes more important than getting it right. Newspapers, I think, have in some ways the advantage of not having to be on the air 24 hours a day, but still there's pressure to be first with a story, and as journalists, you've always got to make sure you're doing those basic journalistic checklists that some people think are a thing of the past.
Right. No, absolutely. But I even think for us, you know, I mean, I actually stopped saying I'm a newspaper reporter because I don't feel that way anymore. You know, we are online. I mean, I used to be on the Spotlight team, and then I was in the main newsroom, and now I'm the editor of the Spotlight team. But, you know, when you're a regular reporter here at the Boston Globe, you see yourself as writing for our bostonglobe.com website, and we have now, you know, what we call the express desk, and something happens, and it goes up right away. So I do think that things have gotten, everything has speeded up, and it has affected the media. I mean, of course, we don't print anything without checking and so forth, but there's a lot of pressure. It's affected every part of the news business to get things up as early as possible.
We're talking with Patricia Wynn of the Boston Globe's Spotlight team. It's a time of transition for newspapers. We were talking with Bob Ryan, who writes still for the Globe, even in retirement, a couple of weeks ago, and talk about the situation in your market with an uncertain future for the Boston Herald. And as Bob said, well, the future's uncertain for all of us in the newspaper business. What will keep newspapers going in the future?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's a great question, too. I feel, well, again, forgetting just the word newspapers, you know, what will keep sort of responsible journalism alive, I hope it, I mean, I really do hope it in some ways does come down to people, ordinary citizens, recognizing the importance of this and the consequences of having no media. You know, there are these parts of the country now, you know, they call them news deserts, in which the local paper is either shut down or is so gutted that nobody even covers sort of what's going on with the police or the town meetings and so forth. I think that we have to fix this. It's a broken financial model right now. And some places, some organizations are lucky enough to be profitable, or they have a very wealthy owner who can help subsidize them for a while. But this is a big question, and I think it affects everybody everywhere. And I just hope somehow people, in some ways, have to realize they just can't get all their news for free, and that you know, journalism does need to get funded.
I feel like for those of us who love the First Amendment and are fans of that, and for people working in journalism, we're under attack in a couple of areas. How do we combat, first of all, legitimately fake news that's out there in a lot of sources, and then the charges levied against real news organizations of being fake?
I don't know. I mean, I have to say, sometimes I feel like, at least where I sit as editor of the Spotlight team and what I do, I feel like I just have to, I mean, there's just so much stuff, so much, you know, a lot of bad things going on in a lot of places. And I think we, I don't mean I just put my head down and do my work, but on one level, I feel like average ordinary people recognize good journalism. I think average ordinary, you know, fair playing people can see when something is truly fake news and when something is the truth. And so I don't know. Sometimes I wonder how this kind of polarization, whether it's actually overblown and that, you know, most decent people can really see it and appreciate when reporters spend a lot of time and dig out the truth.
What's the biggest challenge you face working in journalism these days?
Oh, boy. I mean,
pick one, I guess.
What was that?
Pick one, because I'm sure there are very many.
I know. I think it's really just, you know, going after some of the most difficult stories and trying to get it right. I mean, on one level, investigative journalism is easier because, not easier, I mean, we have a lot of information at our, you know, that we can get through digital records now and so forth. But there's a lot more sort of spin masters, and people have their lawyers, and people have their handlers, and their public relations people. And in some ways, the higher you get, the more of those kinds of people there are. It's not easy to do this job. So I guess that's what I would say is among the hardest things.
What inspired you to get into journalism?
Oh, boy. You know, it's one of those things that I when I graduated from college, I actually thought I was going to go into international relations, and then I just happened to work at a international research public policy type place where there were a lot of former foreign correspondents, and I just really kind of started listening to what they do, and I thought it was so much more interesting than like writing foreign policy briefs. And so then I just got a job at a daily newspaper. I worked at the Star-Ledger in Newark, New Jersey. And it's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes you're just in an environment and you just love it. You think like, oh, these are my people. And so I just, I started there and I just loved it. From the time I was, my first day as a reporter, I just loved it. I loved the sort of populist feeling of it. I loved the sense that, you know, you're endlessly curious. You can bounce from one topic to another. So it's been great. I've loved it from the beginning.
Well, we need your work, and those around you, your colleagues at the Boston Globe, doing their job, I really believe, more than ever in these times. We look forward to your talk tomorrow, 4:30, in the Wells Conference Center at the University of Maine, as part of the Stephen King Chair in Literature Lecture. Patricia Wen of the Boston Globe, wonderful to talk with you this afternoon. Travel safe on your way to Maine, and we appreciate you coming on with us.
Oh, good. Well, thank you, and thank you for having me.